Hi friends, today we are going to continue learning our rural marketing and I am going to take the chapter number 5 which is on segmentation and targeting rural markets. When you say segmentation and targeting, additionally positioning naturally comes into this. This is a very popular subject among any marketeers. Why? Because this only helps you really to succeed in getting your product accepted among the right individuals. So this is the fundamental of segmentation and targeting. As we move forward, we will learn more about it. So why segmentation is needed? Segmentation is needed because this particular thing is that in India, especially among rural market, for that matter across India, there is so much of a cultural divide. Divide is either on the basis of the caste, creed, religion, etc. So this is what is one fundamental factor. What it goes to say that every group has certain harmonious traits and harmonious aspects among them. Now, among this masses, which is so heterogeneous, it is very essential for you to identify some individuals who have collectively similar traits. When I say similar traits, means they will therefore depict similar likes, similar dislikes, similar acceptance, similar rejection, their needs, wants, etc. also will probably be aligned homogeneously. How this homogeneity helps a marketeer is like, if you have to go and sell it your product, you need to communicate. And when you need to communicate, you need to communicate certain aspects. These certain aspects needed to be accepted by the recipient of your message. Now, if this recipient of the message with heterogeneous mindsets, likes, dislikes and traits, etc., will not really penetrate the minds of those people. Therefore, efforts are always, right from day one of marketing, is to identify homogeneous group which has similar traits and similar likes, dislikes, and as a result, the birth of a concept called segmentation has happened. Here, if you see that it's a dividing a heterogeneous group into homogeneous subunits. So that is what we have fundamentally just understood. Division is based on the premise that the different people have different preferences. I have touched base that India, of course, is a land of so many languages and dialects and, you know, so many socio-cultural subgroups that India has across 650,000 villages. A marketing strategy, therefore, requires you to identify homogeneous group. Now, the challenge in rural market is probably urban culture of India across the country may tend to become more and more similar, but rural India continues to be different. What you probably found as a homogeneous group in probably North India will not be right in the South India or in the western part of the India. So as in rural marketing, getting on to find the homogeneous group is more challenging than probably the urban aspect of a marketeers that you generally tend to, where it is easy, like the lifestyle that is becoming now is more or less becoming common across cities, prime cities, metro cities, or you say major metros, but which is not the case among rural marketeers, rural markets. Companies today are developing differentiated offers in terms of product, price, place and all. Therefore, what probably may work in one part of the rural India may not work in the other part of the rural India. And that's the reason why on all four P's, you probably need to understand what is going to work in specific rural part of the homogeneous group that you have identified. This may be in north, this may be in south or west, etc. This is a challenge, and that's where the segmentation is going to help you. Degree of segmentation. So this is what is like, we are going to now discuss at what degree or what is that depth of segmentation that is going to be helping you in your rural marketing. These are the concepts which are even valid for the normal markets or you say urban markets. But from the context of rural marketing, we will try to understand bit about similar same concept but with the focus on rural marketing. Mass marketing, when you say mass marketing, as the name itself describes, and this is going to be an effort by marketeer to not have a differentiated, approach to their different markets, etc. They are going to work on a principle and premise that my offer will appeal to everyone. My product is liked by most of the people. My offer will appeal to most of the people. And that's how they go and introduce the product. On the onset of industrialization, mass marketing used to be the way that people used to sell their products. So mass marketing is like undifferentiated, or you don't create real differentiation in your product offering, in your price policies, in your promotions, etc. You continue with your same marketing effort, what you probably do in urban India, you will also do it in the rural India. So that is what you call is a mass marketing approach. However, a company has slowly realized that you need a different approach to tap particular rural market. And that's where the mass marketing concept has slowly become kind of irrelevant in the rural marketing. In the initial phase, when company wanted to tap the rural market, it may be appropriate. But as you want to expand your reach, you want to expand your portfolio that is reaching your consumers, you want more per home revenue, etc. In such case, you will have to move away from the mass marketing, and then you have to get into segmentation approach. Here one example is given is like this Colgate, which is Hindustan Unilever. They have, like, in the sense, Colgate, which is marketing this toothpaste, which we know out here in India, is like also trying to introduce a different brand. These brands are getting acceptance in the rural India. It was not probably accepted well. Sibaka, if you know, Sibaka was a brand which was earlier popular here also in urban India, but gradually with onset of many other varieties of the toothpaste, utilitarian in nature, the brand Sibaka probably may not have got the relevance in the urban market. But as an introductory first step towards moving away from the stick or bubble stick, this was the level that probably Sibaka as a toothpaste got introduced in rural India, and it is still working out there for them. So they are using Sibaka as a brand for the entry level toothpaste customers. This is how they have done, created a segmentation. Here also they will have to probably think about really segmenting the market. There are still going to be people who will use the dantul stick, and then they move to the powder. So that's how companies have graduated these people. So from stick, first make them use powder, and from powder make them use the toothpaste. Then you try and put a specific toothpaste of relevance for them, and that's where Sibaka is for the rural India, as you probably can probably study, and if you can, you know, really Google some bit about what is Sibaka and where it is being sold, etc. Segmenting the market. So segment the market is like, if I have to tell you, segmenting the market is like slice of life or slice. So if you have an apple and you slice them, that's what slice of life is, a segmentation, honestly, and where you slice the entire market on certain uniform traits, certain uniform peculiarities, that's what is going to get you certain homogeneous group available to you. So this is what is an effort that you must put in when in your rural marketing as well. So hitherto, like if you look at, there is a product called Hammam and there is a product called Lifebuoy. Once upon a time, Hammam was a household name across urban India also. Even Lifebuoy was a household name, but then with the onset of various other better products, or I will say the product which was segmented at a particular need of individuals, which when they started coming in, the product like Hammam literally lost its value proposition. However, it is not easy to kill any brand. One need to find out the value proposition appropriateness with the specific group of homogeneous people, and that's where Hammam was then moved to rural market. So Hammam is like entry level soap across rural market. Same is a Lifebuoy. Lifebuoy is considered as a soap for the macho man. So in our days, I remember the Lifebuoy ad was depicting a macho man, and that's what you were like kind of aspiring to be, and therefore you start using Lifebuoy as a soap for you, which is probably not the case for the today's generation. But Lifebuoy still holds its relevance in the rural youth who still have a matureness in them, or say probably they aspire to be one among others across the society, etc. So with that, the relevance of the brand, relevance of the product got established with this homogeneous group. So as a result, Hammam and Lifebuoy both work in the rural market, and they cater to the specific homogeneous group of the rural market. Niche marketing. So when you start getting into segmentation, the next aspect comes in the niche marketing. So marketing has a depth that it which you are trying to operate. So niche marketing is further classification of the market, where you are able to serve limited number of customers, limited number of customers with their specific customization needs that being there, and for that you try to create a product offering. And that product offering, when you create, it's like a niche marketing. If I had to give you an example, so for example, the Raymond's, you know, made to order service, which they've introduced, is a niche marketing. There are people in that higher middle order aspire to, convey, or they grow up in life or grow up in their stature. While they were probably tailoring their products with the normal, better grade local tailors, there was a vacuum, like that some recognized brand should serve them. That's where the Raymond's made to order concept came in. So it is catering to that niche. So similarly, the niche in rural market also can be found, and then you start catering, provide a product which can cater to their specific needs. So this is what, like, so for example, Tata has found out that gold continues to be a lucrative investment proposition in rural market. So they have introduced a brand Gold Plus, which is not the case in urban India. You cannot go to the Titan showroom and, you know, probably check about it. But this as a service is available to rural consumers. So for rural India, when you introduce specific services which can be tailored to suit a small group, or a group to whom you can provide even customization support, what you call is a niche marketing effort that has been put up by you. Then comes the micro marketing. So micro marketing is further, you know, going deeper into the homogeneous group. It says that it was the tailoring of the product to satisfy a particular need of a customer. Here tailoring, when I say, vis-a-vis the niche still continues to be, some aspect of customization is definitely there, but again it is at a mass level, yani it is at a general level, while in micro marketing you offer even an individualistic service. So even an individual preferences and choices are having a say in determining what product or service that they want to use from you. So that is what you call a micro marketing, wherein you really create a product which can be customized by the consumer himself. Today in the digitalized world, this is becoming more and more reality, wherein on a digital portal, etc., where you go, there are products in which you get a choice, and a choice of right from fabric, color to, you know, way it should be delivered. And so this is what you call a micro marketing, where it is catering to the specific needs of an individual. It has a system in the back end which can do that. Further, this micro marketing can be divided is the local marketing and the individual marketing. So local marketing refers to the designing brands and promotion to suit the needs and wants of a local group, local consumer groups on a geographical basis. Regional and local brands are very good at local marketing. So say Joy Alukas, it is a popular Kerala brand, now of course entering into metro market, but otherwise they have a tremendous penetration across urban, semi-urban and rural India of part of Kerala. Now such brands probably are in a better position to provide a micro marketing at a local level. So local marketing, they can practice better. Individual marketing, in this approach an individual can get a product according to his or her specific need. So this is like furnitures, or you know, there are clothing in which also this individual marketing is possible. So those kind of aspects are called very, very micro marketing. It's an individual base. Individual has a say in selecting the product and the service that you are offering in a combination way that he or she chooses. While local marketing in the micro listing again will go to a level where at a specific level certain nature of product or services are offered, which can still satisfy the need of an individual and provide the required product and services to them. So one need to really understand the depth of a marketing, which is a part of the segmentation. Segmentation, how far you are wanting to take your segmentation in deeper sense, your segmentation approaches are decided. So we will once again visit this. So degree of segmentation has one is a mass market, which is literally there is no segmentation. Then you come to segmented marketing or segment marketing, when you really create a size of life where from the heterogeneous group, you find out certain homogeneous group, but serve them again on a common mass level. And then comes the stage of niche marketing, where you identify smaller group whom you serve on a specific basis. And you probably are not able to give them absolute individuality, but that group is so peculiar, so specific, and you have created a product and service for them. So that's a niche marketing. I gave you the example of Raymond's made to order as such. Then comes the micro marketing. Micro marketing goes down deeper and it caters to the specific groups, wherein the group has a say in selecting product or services that you are offering. They can probably customize also, and at an individual level, you can offer this at a local level. You can offer your micro marketing segmentation at a individual level, where individuals have a say to do this. Now today you wonder, but I am sure like many of you are aware, that even automobile OEMs are offering customization of their vehicle. So you go to their site, you select what you want, accessories to be fitted, etc., how you want the look and feel of your car, and the car gets delivered to you in the manner that you have expected. So that is the depth if you are going to go. That's a micro marketing. Similar aspects can be replicated at a rural market level. Therefore, segmentation is a principle which is a universal principle for any marketeers. For rural marketeers, yes, you need to really go deeper, find out what really appeals. And one challenge that you will have is, what probably you have universalized for one particular zone or a region may not be withholding right for the other zone or the region. So your segmentation for rural marketing will have much more deeper, wider aspects in your portfolio, rather than your segmentation for urban India, which probably what you have done as your common urban segmentation approach may work in south, east, west, north zones, which may not be the case when it comes to rural marketing. So having understood the segmentation part, we try to understand the basis for segmentation of the rural consumer market. And on what basis can a marketeer decide his segmentation? So this again is going to be an area where we will try to understand which are the options that a marketeers have. As you can see that we have listed about four area ways that you can segment your market: geography, demography, psychographic, and behavioral. Now, friends, you will again see that this probably are same as the general marketing concept, but we will try to cover this from more other rural marketing perspective so that you get this understanding clearer. So, geographically segmentation, if you have to practice geographic segmentation, how do you go about it? So, India is divided across many states, many union territories. Then again, under these states, there is like districts, talukas, and all you go. And each has its own traits and peculiarities and certain commonness, certain differences, etc. And as a result, rural geographic segmentation is more relevant, wherein because at every few kilometers and miles, the entire population profile will change. And that, though it changes, but it gives you a sufficient geographical area so that you can get into practicing the geographical segmentation. If you do not want to go too deeper, you probably practice a geographical distribution. So, South Gujarat, North Gujarat, Western Gujarat, or Eastern Gujarat, that way probably you can do. And there you will find that segmentation approach is going to work for everyone out there. It means you got a homogeneity in the segmentation by dividing into east, west, north, south of Gujarat as a segment. So that gives you a power where all your communication, your messages are delivered and accepted in a manner that you want them to convey. Therefore, your product will find acceptance level. So that's a geographic segmentation. Here, optimization is better because you are not needing to create lot of segmentation. You have few segmentation to cater to. And as a result, your marketing spread will not be unwarrantedly very wide, needing your investment, time, money, etc. And therefore, it is in a controllable state. The geographical segmentation can operate on a controllable state. Then comes the other aspects can be regions. So, this is what also I have covered, that you cover a region diversity. So, regional diversity is a country specific when you do. East, west, north, south, if that is going to work for you even in the rural area, then that's fine. Whatever the common marketing program that you did for north, if it is going to work for you within every part of northern India in rural market, then it is fine. So you call this a regional segmentation. So regional segmentation can be practiced if your product can really be sold to the homogeneous profile across the region, where you find the people of similar profile, and your marketing program therefore can become an appealing proposition for them. However, diversity being too much in India, regional segmentation probably has its own challenge in the rural marketing. Rural marketing need to go a little deeper. General zonal or a regional level segmentation has its own challenge, may or may not work. Village population and its density. So villages are a smaller harmonious unit. Now you can do your segmentation at a village level. You have data available based on the size of the village, the nature of community there, etc., and their population and all. By studying those aspects, about the villages across rural India, you can create your own segmentation approach. You can create a differentiation by pulling out certain profiles of the village and then deciding that I will go to this village. Now, it can be number, it can be caste, creed, religion, nature of people who there, the income level of the village, etc. And then you create your approach to reach those marketing population. So, that is a village level segmentation. Climatic segmentation is one aspect which can also be applied in the rural marketing. In some specific product, climate conditions play a significant role, like agri-based or say even other clothing, etc., where climate does play the required role. Therefore, this segmentations into climatic region helps you to do things properly. The soil conditions, the rainfall, deficit rainfall area. There are typical Marathwada or Vidarbha are known as typical rainfall short area, and shortfall there are always there. So how do you do your segmentation for agri feeds or agricultural produce, etc.? So those kind of aspects can be considered by you depending on the product that you are selling. And if it has a relevance to the climatic condition, then you need to really get into climate-based segmentation. Culture. Culture is a very, very strong virtue that has been withheld by every individual in his life. So cultural aspects really matter. In the early 70s, India was divided into 56 socio-cultural regions by Rashiduddin Kahan. So in the sense, this is what scholar this thing has done his own research, and then this is how he has subgrouped India on a social cultural aspects. For example, UP has 5 SCRs: Braj, Purvanchal, Rohilkhand, Bundelkhand and Awadh. So on this premise the cultural segmentation was done. So you can understand that how cultural segmentation does matter, where certain age-old traditions, virtues and values that are being withheld by those individuals, then that itself gives you one homogeneous group. And if you tweak your marketing segmentation to meet around those commonality, that gives you the homogeneous group, and then you communicate with them in a manner that the message is reached to them, then your product acceptance will improve. So cultural as a base is also a good base of segmentation. Then comes the demographic segmentation. So we have covered first method to segment the market, which is geographical segmentation. In that we have covered really how do you do the geographical segmentation. So one is of course the geography, this thing that I have been explaining you, what is the geographical segmentation, in which one is a region, second is a village, the third is the climate, the fourth is the culture, on which the geographical segmentation can take place. Now, therefore, we come to the second aspect, which is demographic segmentation. First of all, you need to understand what is demographic. So, demographic factors are age, life cycle, family, land ownership, occupation, income, socioeconomic class, religion, caste, creed, color, etc. This is what is demographic. What you call it demographic is something which is stemmed, something which is now fixed with an individual in the state in which he is. You can't today claim I am a non-Hindu. You're born into Hindu family, so you are an Hindu. So that way you are born into a specific caste, so you are a Hindu belonging to the specific caste. You cannot go and say that I am not, kind of. So that's what you call a demographic. I am a higher middle class, so I am higher middle class. That is the current say state. Okay. So, this is how your demographics and your certain aspects get stamped onto you as per your lifestyle, living, birth, etc. So, that is what is the demographic aspect that one need to consider for segmentations. What are those aspects? Age and life cycle. Yani. So age is a definite segmentation, strong parameters. What probably today's youth like is not right or liked by the middle age, and is not right or liked by the old age people. Vis-a-vis, age-wise, the need also are different. Yani. So that's where you one marketeer need to really see how age can matter in his segmentation approach for the rural India. Life cycle stage, again we have studied earlier, there are different life cycle stages. Yeah. The prominent stages to linked with the life cycle is like whether you are a teenage, whether married, then comes the empty nest, etc. So those aspects that we have covered in one of the earlier session. So at that stage, respective individuals need, respective individuals requirement, respective individuals of liking, dislikes, etc. are far different from the other life stage of the individuals. And in the different, so teenage will today not prefer white clothes and you know move into a very simple living aspect. And teenage today needs adventure in their life. They need entertainment, fun, work hard, play hard, that kind of an attitude. Vis-a-vis the one who's crossed 40, 45, 50, wants more stability, more security, more health related aspects to be taken care of. So they are more health conscious. They become aware about what are the medical needs. So as a result, they will look for the product that will satisfy them against any medical exigencies, etc. So that's how the life stage also matters. Coming to family structure, again, there are various classifications available for the family structures. The simple one is a joint family, Hindu undivided family, joint family. Then there are niche family. Today people talk about neo-niche family, which is a very small fraction. Yani. So like joint family, like all brothers, sisters, or say like, you know, they all stay together with the wives and kids and all. Then as the era progressed, the joint family started breaking, and therefore the niche family aspect started coming in. So if there are three brothers, each one will move out and set up his own house. As a result, all the other requirements gets birth. Yani. So that becomes one is becomes now three. So whatever that is required by one household will be required by three household now. So similarly, then further classifications have started happening, like where kid is pursuing career elsewhere. Yani. So they are somewhere else. So that is like again neo niche this thing, etc. So there are various classification that is available when you really look in. Same aspects needs to be looked at whether your market needs family structure based approach for the rural segmentation. Rural India is gradually moving from a large joint family system to individual joint family system. Family staying together but having separate kitchens. And so see, these are what different classifications. And though they are calling it a joint family, but with the separate kitchen, then it is a large joint family to individual joint family. This is resulting in a greater demand for consumer goods. And so as the family breaks, the demand for such kind of products will keep increasing manifold. Yani. So rural India marketeers need to look at whether life, family structure and how the families are evolving, whether that can be your segmentation approach or not, under again demographic way of segmentation. Land ownership. Land ownership conveys your strata in the society. Large in rural India, security, prosperity, livelihoods are intrinsically lead to the land. And how much land you possess is a hallmark of your stature in the society. It conveys, like, you know, what is the security and stability that you have in your life. And urban people refer to the land as just another asset. And even their flat, they consider it as a land, and that's an asset for them. In rural India, it is how big the land you own, that is your stature, and that conveys something about you. Farmers also have an emotional bonding with the land. Yani. So as a result, it is not merely a investment, it is a livelihood. Yani. So from there, they get their livelihood. So they have a different attachment to the land. Yani. So segmentation can be based on land holding patterns of the rural India. So if you understand the land holding pattern, if that helps you to create a different harmonious, homogeneous group, then that's your one approach that you can. Fragmented landholders, or you want only large and middle level landholders, etc. So that way you can decide, and then you can decide the numeric value that so much is considered by you as a middle landholding pattern. The above so and so, it is a large landholding pattern. So your marketing initiatives can be diverted, looking at what are their needs and requirements, etc. So one need to really understand landholding as one demographic way of segmentation is going to help you or not. Occupation. Occupation remains always the prime segmentation approach, even in the urban market. Same is the case with rural market, where who does what matters to your their choice of product, their ability to buy certain types of products, certain price level of product, etc. So occupation based segmentation is always an important thing. However, in rural India, self-employment is the major source of occupation. Everyone either is a landowner and he is this thing, other one is a laborer, contract laborer, or someone is an equipment supplier, etc. So most of them are like a self-employed. And there is no set up organizations where individual go and work, etc. So this aspect needs to be kept in mind. And under self-employment, then there are many other subdivides like agri and non-agri. We have one of our earlier session, we have covered how the rural market is categorized. Product categorization is a consumption pattern change among the different occupational groups. So based on the occupational group that you are, your likes, dislikes, your capability to buy certain products, so your inability to buy certain price point and above product, etc., or your requirements, etc., all will change. So as a result, if you can approach through an occupation route of a demographic to segment your market, that's also one valid approach for the rural marketeers. Income, again, it's a very important indicator on which you can segment your market, provided your product needs that kind of a segmentation. So today, even the auto market within urban India also has to cater a marketing based on the income also, like a person in income below so and so cannot aspire to own luxury cars. So they know that, you know, they need to market for an income above so and so for the luxury car. Income between so and so is a high end non-luxury car, then sedans, then comes the hatchback, lower middle income and all. So that's how it is an income-led segmentation that gets practiced. Same is a requirement, same is a feasibility, same could be your need for segmentation in rural market. Primarily, in urban India, income majority of people is regular. One need to, however, this is a point that one need to keep in mind. Urban India lives on a fixed income, which is not the case with rural India, where it depends on how much they earn based on the farming season. Many urbanites pay income tax, whereas salary in agriculture income is not taxable. So they retain what they earn. Hence, yane, the disposable income and those aspects determine their ability to spend. Yane. I earn maybe more, but I pay more tax, my disposable income will be less. Yane. So segmenting the rural market based on income is still a challenging proposition. One need to be careful when you are putting an effort in that direction. Socioeconomic classifications are basically two variables that come under that, which is under the demographic approach to segmentation, education and types of house that has been used. So this is a socioeconomic classification is available, this R1, R2, R3, when you refer socioeconomic classification. When you Google that, these classifications are well defined, but they are based on the education and types of house. Kaccha house, pakka house, kaccha house, so in what square meter or whatever the square feet, etc., versus pakka house, what square feet. So those kind of classifications are there. Yeah, so this is what one need to really also understand. You may probably practice your segmentation, develop your segmentation on that. Religion and caste, again, very important segmentation probables and a factor in your rural marketing. Strong, these sentiments are strong as you go deeper into rural areas. Urban areas probably is moving away from issues linked to religion and caste, and they are becoming more homogeneous on some other areas, yane, not on religion and caste. So, for what you do a segmentation for the rural urban marketers need not be same for the rural marketers, I have been always saying, and in rural India, this approach is possible because rural India, as you go deeper and deeper, the religion and caste play a very significant role.